Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 16. And when they drew near unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say anything unto you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded him, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were very displeased, and said unto him, Do you hear what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yes, have you never read, Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? We end our scripture reading. There's enough thought in that passage to talk a long time, but that's not our goal today. Why do we call it Palm Sunday? Well, it's because of this triumphal entry Jesus made into Jerusalem. It's because of the fulfillment of scriptures. He came riding a donkey. And the common folk were filled with joy, and they received him, and they're praising him. And along with their outer garments, they were throwing down branches. Now, not if you're in Wisconsin, branches could be a detriment to travel. I mean, the kind of stuff that come tumbling out of our pine trees and our big oaks and maples. We prefer to think of a palm branch. It goes down nice and flat, and it was like laying out a carpet instead of the white carpet or the red carpet. It was their own coats and these palm branches, and they were doing all they could. There was no rehearsal. There was no church bulletin, no script. They just started spontaneously crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Did they know they were fulfilling Scripture? Did they know they were quoting Scripture? I would guess not. But something moved in them. The scene is amazing. He's coming in a very humble way, riding on a donkey. And they're throwing out their coats and they're throwing out these branches. Now, Hosanna. Okay, the word Hosanna means save now. Okay, let's hear that statement again. Hosanna to the Son of David. And that has prophetic significance. Because from the Son of David, from the lineage of David, will come the Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's acknowledging he's a true prophet sent from God? The Messiah? Sent from God? Well, the next statement, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save now. And if you can imagine the tension in the air and the tension in society in those days, the people were yearning for some great deliverance for their nation, from the Roman Empire. They wanted some great renewal to happen so that the so-called good old days, those days they had heard about, they've read about, when Israel was a more glorious sovereign nation, they wanted that. It's got to be better before us. That's kind of a trap in those thinkings, but nonetheless, they wanted deliverance. They wanted some restoration of good old days that they had always heard about. And Jesus went to the temple and corrected the errors of the money changers. They had taken a place that should be identified with prayer and worship and seeking the Lord, the very footstool of the Lord, and they turn it into a commercialized mess. You see, Jews are coming from all over the place, and they would wear out their sacrifices if they walked them there from these great distances. So they come there to get good temple-approved, priest-approved sacrifices, nice and fresh. So they came, but now we can't let you buy them with ordinary money. No, no, no. We have temple money. So they had exchange going on, and I don't know a lot about this in life, but from country to country, you turn your money into their money and their money into your money when you get back out. And often people that do this for a living charge a fee. We'd like to say modest fee, but quite frankly, modesty isn't known in the area of finance. And especially here at the temple, they were taking horrible advantage of people who came to worship, to do offerings, to fulfill the will of God. They've come to the footstool of the Lord, the temple, the house of God, and they're being duped by money changers with exorbitant prices to change money to temple money. You know, when I was a kid, I'd open up the, Monopoly box, you know. It's fun for a while, isn't it? Then you put it back in the box because it's all it is. Well, they kind of had their own temple money. It was their own making. And it was a way to make money because they made it worth more than the Roman money. And Jesus was pretty clear, turning over tables and seats. He drove out animals that could walk on their own power. And I always like to point this out, and it isn't in this passage. It's one of the other Gospels, but the doves were not released. They would fly away and be lost, and Jesus didn't harm anybody. Money can be picked up. Tables can be picked up. Cows that ran off, they'll be out there. You can bring them back in or you know, sheep or whatever it was. But the doves, he says, you carry them out. I like to mention that because in the midst of our righteous indignation sometimes, we get out of hand and it becomes more like fleshly indignation. And James warns us, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So I have a few acquaintances in life who really, they like to be the type A righteous indignation guy. They like to proclaim judgment on things. They would call fire down from heaven if they could. And I like to remind them that at the peak of his zeal, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, he never sinned against any of them. He never did anything out of line with the will of God, the word of God, the law. And we have to make sure if it's righteous indignation, we stay within the boundaries God gave us. Okay, that's my commercial on that point. I always slip it in, don't I? So then after purging the temple, he then starts doing some very merciful things. There's blind people. He heals them. He's giving people sight. Well, if I were blind and I could pick a place to receive my sight, how about the house of God and how about the Son of God being the first thing I saw? I have some blind friends, and some of them have told me, we have virgin eyes. The first thing we will ever see is our Savior. Isn't that a great thought to look forward to? What a positive way to deal with that. Well, it looked like a revival had started. But wait a minute. There's the high priests. There's the scribes. There's the officials. They're frowning. They don't like this. This isn't according to our plan. It's not in our script. This has never been done before. And so they're putting on the big frown, and they want Jesus to stop the commotion. Now, I have a minister friend. I haven't talked to him for years, but he stood in this room and told us how he was speaking in India, and he's native to the nation India, and the persecution of Christians has gotten much worse even since his day. But when he was speaking, people came in with big sticks to beat him while he's preaching because they didn't want him to do this. And the congregation literally got up and put him on the floor and laid on him. Now, that may sound a little suffocating, but they weren't beating him. They said, beat us before you beat him. And they laid down and protected the man. And in a little while, the police came, right? No, the police came and arrested him for disturbing the peace. Okay, so Jesus is quoting Scripture, fulfilling Scripture, getting rid of false commercial activity in the temple. He's healing people, giving people their sight, and he's the one in trouble. Get used to it. We are living in such days. This is going on, and it is increasing exponentially. And if you don't like that word, I just learned how to pronounce it a while back, and it's fun to say once you can do it, but it just means the rate of increasing is increasing. It's like when you see the number 10, but there's a little 10, 10 to the 10th power. It's 10 times 10 times 10 times 10. Okay, things really increase at this exponential rate, and it makes us dizzy. Who would have thought 2 years ago all the churches in our country would close shop? And you'd have to fight the law to open again, and that people would divide and argue and what they've gone through. It's been hard on everybody. And I don't mean any disrespect here, but who would have thought that 2 years ago that would have happened? Now, that's what I call exponential. And what's coming up? Who knows? God knows. People think they know. Well, personally, I hope it's come up hither, but I can't be a coward. He say, you got lots of this to deal with. It's happened to my people all along. Get your stiff upper lip and get the grace of God. Get strong and act like mature soldiers of Jesus Christ. But I hope your flag is nailed to the mast, because it must not come down during these trying times. Well, as they're telling him to stop the commotion, quit all this disruption, Jesus quotes a psalm, and he talks about how much God loves the praise of children. Now, on that thought, I want to just remind you that more than once, Jesus upheld children as a great example for adults. You know, adults get complicated. And when they get complicated, they get dangerous. Jesus wants us to unlearn some things that life has taught us and become more simple. In Matthew 18, the disciples asked Jesus, who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That should have been apparent. Jesus. But no, they're thinking of which one of us? Surely we're in the lineup. And they could have answered that question easily. But nonetheless, Jesus saw the tension there, so he calls over a child, gets him right in the middle, and he says, assuredly I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If I could just explain one thing, kingdom of heaven doesn't necessarily mean when you're dead and you're up in the pearly gates realm. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. It's an interchangeable phrase. Some have tried to make a lot more out of that. But you need new birth to see something that is invisible to others. Others, they see land, they see buildings, they see armies, they see, you know, governmental things, and they see all that structure. But this kingdom is hidden in plain sight right under their nose. It's a kingdom in which Christ rules in the hearts of his own people. He rules in their minds. He rules in their hearts. And so the process of being in this kingdom, you have to be born again to see it. And then he says, you have to be converted. Okay, that should be a buzzword, saying, I got to quit being who I am and start being who he is in me. I got to start cooperating. And he wants us to bring us down to the level of a child in certain ways. In certain ways. And because this is the short one, not the long one, I'm not going to discuss all those qualities of a child. We've done it in the past. But one clue, it takes humility. There's no such thing as a proud worshiper of Jesus. You can be proud of the Lord. My boast is in the Lord. That's all right. But I like what you told me once, Fred. A certain guy says, I'm not a worship leader, I'm a lead worshiper. There's a lot of difference. Shows the right attitude. Matthew 19, when the disciples complained that people were bringing infants to Jesus, not every text reveals it, but in the Greek it was actually babies they were bringing to Jesus so that he would bless them. He wanted them to pray over them. He wanted just to touch them and bless them, doing it for everybody else, right? Well, the disciples said, wait a minute, this is getting out of hand. Jesus is a busy man. Don't bother us with these little children. And Jesus says, wait a minute, boys, I didn't sign that one. I'm not going to sign off on that statement. He says, let the children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And I don't want to be too provocative today, but I'll just throw in one little plug. He's not talking about baptism here. He's talking about surrounding your child in the love of the Lord. I mean, even from the womb, they should be hearing the praises of God and surrounded with the love of God and bathed with prayers. And they should grow up in that environment. Let children come. I have been working with children for many, many years. A few of them were my own. And the simple childlike faith is so sweet, and you hate watching some of them grow up. But all I can say is, if anybody's ever been born again, they are born again. And the Lord will restore and seek any wanderers. And I'm talking to some old parents and grandparents here. We're heart aching for children. And in Kids Club, it's multiplied more. But Jesus has an interest in children. And we must not subjugate it to some other time. It's now. Today is always the day, and now is always the time to share Christ. To share our love for Christ, our faith in Christ with anybody around us. Now, Paul instructed us in Ephesians 5, 1 and part of verse 2, therefore be imitators or be followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Now, there's more to the statement, but I just got to keep it simple. We are to follow God like dear children. And we know some children don't seem so dear, but that's another story. But as dear children, and think of the trusting way of children. Think of their openness. How easily they'll forgive. If adults can ever muster up the humility to apologize. But how quickly they're sorry when they've done wrong and they want restoration. It's those qualities we must never lose. Now, Paul does give us some warning in another place. In 1 Corinthians 14, 20, Paul counsels that we need discernment when we try to be like children. And here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 14, 20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes. But in understanding, be mature. Or other Bibles say, be men. Okay? So we got to watch out. The baby thing could get out of hand. And unfortunately, some of our childishness is what wrecks churches and wrecks our testimony. See, we want to be childlike as per Jesus' example and not childish as selfish and vengeful and whatever else. He stole my toy. Okay, so at Northland Bible Church, we have celebrated the idea of God's love and God's use for children in our lives by having our Kids Club concert on Palm Sundays. You've heard the story. The children were crying out to God as the rest and worshiping the Lord. And when the adults tried to stop it, Jesus says, don't stop it. This is perfect. You guys need to be converted and become like children yourselves. And so we're going to have this kids club concert like we have for many, many years. And we need to sing a song that talks about this story, a song that we rarely take the hymn book and sing. So I'd like to pray, and I don't want to turn off my recording. Father, thank you so much for revealing Jesus as the lover of all kinds of people. He loves them when they're children, even babies. He loves them as they grow up. And when they truly get converted, Lord, and become humble followers as dear children, He loves them all the way through this world to the next. And yet we have the danger of getting complicated, Lord. Help us. Help us to discover or rediscover the childlikeness that He so loves. And bless our children as they will minister to us today in this concert. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.